We're talking about the God of new beginnings, and we've been talking about Noah and his great journey. And last week we talked about a new remembrance. God remembered Noah. Remember, he was in that ark, and it says that God remembered Noah. It was more than just having a mental reminder that he existed, but it literally means he came in his kindness and in his mercy and touched Noah's life and caused him to find hope in those days. After over a year in a boat, you'd want God to remember you too, wouldn't you? And so, especially with a bunch of stinky animals. And Noah came out of that ark, and the first thing he did was he made a sacrifice unto God. He built an altar. The very first time the concept or the idea of an altar was mentioned in the Scripture. Don't know how Noah knew what to do, but he wanted to build the place of communication with God. And if you really want to experience what God has for you, we must be able to build the altar of God in our heart. The altar is not this piece of furniture at the front of the building. The altar is where we spend time personally with our Lord. And in Noah's experience, he made sacrifices of animals. And I just can't imagine what it must have been like to feed these things, these animals, for over a year. Spend your every moment with them, smelling them, feeding them, caring for them, putting up with them. And then the first thing that God wants you to do is take some of those animals and sacrifice them. That would be hard to do. And so God asked that of him and required that of him, and he did. And God built a new covenant with his people. Genesis chapter 8, verse 20 says, "And then Noah built an altar to the Lord, and there he sacrificed his burnt offerings, the animals and birds that had been approved for that purpose. And the Lord was pleased with the aroma of the sacrifice and said to himself, 'I will never again curse the ground because of the human race. Even though everything they think or imagine is bent toward evil from childhood, I will never again destroy all living things. As long as the earth remains, there will be planting and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night.'" So God is going to begin a new covenant with Noah. And he says, look, I'll never do this again. It says in the Scriptures, in this story, as we looked at a couple of weeks ago, that God's heart was broken because of how far the people's sin had become. We started this whole series because an ark building in the 21st century, we started this whole thing because Jesus had this incredible statement where he said the days that his coming would, when it would happen, would be like the days of Noah. So we went back and we looked at the days of Noah. And we saw that they were utterly evil. U-T-T-E-R-L-Y. Utterly evil. They were completely and thoroughly evil. There was nothing good about them. They were so far from God. It hadn't been that long since creation. And here they were so separated from God. And how many of you know that many Christians, many people have an experience with God in their life, and it doesn't take them long until they get their life really messed up. But God sent a guy to build a boat. And he built a boat in a place that was like, are you kidding? Why would you build a boat here like this? In the desert, basically. There's no water. He wasn't going to move it to the water. He put all of his eggs in one basket. He said, I'm building the boat exactly the way God said to build the boat. And he built this boat. And he put the animals on there. And he got his family on there. And people were laughing at him and probably mocking him, giving him a hard time. For over 100 years, this guy built this boat. And the Bible says that Noah was the only righteous man on the earth. Can you imagine that God would say about you and me, you're the only righteous man on this earth? Or woman, if you're a woman. I can't imagine. What an incredible statement. Noah just keeps building the ark. His kids probably thought his cheese had done slipped off his cracker. Especially after 100 years. Can you imagine? Noah, between the ages of 500 and 600, had quite a little ordeal building this boat. And finally, they said, God said, I want you to get on the boat. Remember that sermon? They got on the boat, and they sat there for 7 days. Now, that's kind of like preaching a sermon, coming to the conclusion, and then saying, I'll tell you the conclusion next week. It's like telling a joke and getting to the punchline and saying, I'll tell you in 7 days. In Noah's case, he preached that it was going to rain. It had never rained on the earth before. Everything was watered by dew that came from underneath. God put a big bunch of dew on the ground. Could play on that, couldn't I? Water dew, not Mountain Dew. Well, it might have been Mountain Dew. Who knows? But anyway, he watered everything that way. And so this guy is building this boat. Says, it's going to rain. It's going to rain. It's going to rain. They're going, what's rain? So you don't get on this boat, you're going to find out what rain is. And then they get on the boat, and don't you know that the preacher, Noah, would want it to start raining right away so he can go, see? But he gets on the boat and sits there for 7 days. Now, it doesn't give us a clear indication in the Scripture of when God closed the door, but it is my opinion. And I have the right to that. That the door was open for the 7 days, and anybody could have come on that boat that wanted to. Because then it says, God closed the door. And it began to rain. I imagine people are going, maybe the old guy was right. Maybe they beat on the door and said, let me in now. I get it. I hear you. Let me tell you, in the moment that it takes your eye to twinkle, that long, one day, Jesus is going to break the eastern sky. And you better be ready. And I better be ready. Don't play games with God. There's a new covenant God made with man. And he said, no matter how evil people get, I'm never going to do this where I destroy everything again. Aren't you glad God made that choice? We have hope after all, don't we? And Noah spent over a year with these animals, feeding them and taking care of them and his family. And then he brought this sacrifice. Sacrifice of worship and praise to God. It reminded me of a story about David when he wanted to make a sacrifice to God, and this guy named Aruna in 1 Chronicles wanted to give him the piece of property, wanted to give him everything. And David said, I will not sacrifice unto the Lord an offering that costs me nothing. If you really want to walk in the ways of God, it's going to cost you. Whether it be your pride, your time, your energy, your resources, whether it be the fact that you may have to walk away from certain relationships because they're taking you the wrong direction. If you're really going to follow Jesus, it may cost you something. But I believe that no matter what it costs you, God will give it back to you. Pressed down, shaking together, and running over. Genesis 9, 1 to 4 says, then God blessed Noah and his sons, told them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth, all the animals of the earth, all the birds of the sky, all the small animals that scurry along the ground. You're not going to have to hear that anymore. And all the fish in the sea will look on you with fear and terror. I have placed them in your power. I've given them to you for food, just as I've given you grain and vegetables. But you must never eat any meat that still has life blood in it. So God told Noah, he said, here's the rules. Don't take a bite out of a live cow. Well, that's kind of what he said. He said, I don't want you to eat meat that has life blood still in it. In other words, you don't eat it like raw like that. Why? Why was that such a big deal? Well, it was a big deal because of the significance of the Bible about blood. Because Jesus gave the perfect picture, didn't he, of what God said a long time, without the shedding of blood, there's no payment for sin. Blood has honor to it when it's shed or sacrificed for others. And Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice in that he gave his own blood, completely was consumed as a sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. And that's good news. And lastly, he not only gave us a new remembrance, a new covenant, but he's given us a new life. Let me read this scripture quickly. It says, then God told Noah and his sons, I hereby confirm my covenant with you and your descendants, and with all the animals that were on the boat with you, the birds, the livestock, and all the wild animals, every living creature on the earth. Yes, I am confirming my covenant with you. Never again will flood waters kill all living creatures. Never again will a flood destroy the earth. Then God said, I am giving you a sign of my covenant with you and with all living creatures. For all generations to come, I have placed my rainbow in the clouds. It is the sign of my covenant with you and with all the earth. When I send clouds over the earth, a rainbow will appear in the clouds, and I will remember my covenant with you and with all living creatures. Never again will the floodwaters destroy all life. And when I see the rainbow in the clouds, I will remember the eternal covenant between God and every living creature on earth. And then God said to Noah, yes, the rainbow is the sign of the covenant I am confirming with all the creatures on the earth. I'm here to declare that the rainbow belongs to God. It doesn't belong to any kind of lifestyle. It doesn't belong to any kind of group who wants to have something to represent themselves. It belongs to God. It's a covenant between man and God that God has given to us to let us know that he'll never destroy this earth again with a flood. Every time you see the rainbow, you remember that's God's covenant. It's not just a pretty thing in the sky. God is saying to you, I will give you everything you need. I will never destroy all of the earth again. There's a lot of stuff in the Bible about the rainbow, and I don't have time to go into it. And sometimes we see rainbows, and we just think it's just it's kind of a pretty thing. And there are those who have tried to take the rainbow and use it for some kind of rites or whatever. But the rainbow is not just for anybody to use just for anything they want to. The rainbow is a sign of a covenant between God and man. And for me, I'm going to remember that always. A few years ago, and I'll end with this story. A few years ago, in our Yellow Pages ad, they had this piece of art that was a rainbow. Rainbow for me represents the new covenant God's made with us and the new life he's promised. And I put that in the Yellow Pages. I started getting all these calls from Christians yelling at me for supporting the homosexual agenda. And I said to them on the phone, any one of them that called, I said, have you read the Bible lately? Because the Bible doesn't attribute the rainbow to any lifestyle. It says it's a covenant between God and man. And I'm here to redeem the rainbow. Whatever people want to believe and do with their life is their choice. But for me, the rainbow is the promise that God has my best interest at heart. He's remembered me. and He's made a covenant with me. And now it's been signed and sealed through the blood and the broken body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now I can tell you right now, I didn't do this sermon justice because I didn't have enough time. But let me tell you that God has a covenant He wants to make with you. He has a new life He wants to give you. The Bible says His mercies are new every morning. There's a new beginning available for every person in this room every day. If you've fallen away from God, if you've moved away from where you need to be with God, His mercies are new for you right now. If you've lived a lifestyle that you know is not a pleasure to Jesus, if your sacrifice of life is not a sweet-smelling aroma to the King of all kings, then today's your day to lay it down. And say, Lord, I just want to be a pleasure to You. I want my life to have a smell that represents You. Some people live their life like as quote-unquote Christians, and they stink. They got a stinky aroma about themselves. And God wants us to have a sweet-smelling aroma. But what would be the stinky stuff? Well, you got a bad attitude and you call yourself a Christian, you need to have an attitude check. Paul says have the same attitude of Christ, who did not count equality with God something to be grasped at. But he humbled himself and became a servant. And he did the most incredible servant act in all history. He died on a cross. He gave it all for us. His mercies are new for you. If you've got things coming out of your mouth that are not pleasing to the Creator, remember that the Scripture says that we'll give account for every idle word we speak. Be careful what's coming out of your mouth, because the Bible says out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth speaks. So don't say certain things and then say, I didn't really mean that. Yeah, you did. It's in your heart. So we need to get a heart cleanse. People talking about getting colon cleansed. We need to get our heart cleansed. We need to be careful what's coming out of our mouth. The Bible says don't have coarse joking. That means saying things that are not pleasing to the Lord. Be careful. We could preach about just cussing or using God's name in vain, but it goes beyond that. It's that plus we just need to be careful what we're saying. As a Christian, we need to be careful what's coming out of our mouth. When Jonathan was just a little bitty baby, probably smaller than Kirsten, he was sitting on our table and there was this little girl come down from down the street. I don't know how old she was, 4 or 5 probably. Little blonde girl, cute as she could be. We lived out in the country. She came down to our house. She gets up on the chair. She looks down at Jonathan. She looks up at Diane. She looks down at Jonathan. All of a sudden she said, how long is this sucker? I thought to myself, that didn't sound very good coming out of a little girl's mouth. And you might think I'm an old fogey, but listen to me. It doesn't sound all that appealing for God's kids to say the word, that sucks. It doesn't sound that appealing when God's kids say words that aren't like a sweet-smelling aroma to the Lord. Why am I picking on words? I don't know. Jesus said to say that, so I'm just telling you. Be careful. Be careful what's coming out of your mouth. Don't freak out. Don't get under the law. Just deal with it. You know what I'm saying? Don't go, oh my God. Oh. I said that bad word. Don't do that. Don't get under the law. Just get right. If stuff's coming out of your mouth that's not pleasing to the Lord, deal with it. Say, Lord, work on my tongue. James says that the tongue is the smallest member of the body, but it's the most unruly member, and it's set on the fire with fires of hell. So if you think you're having trouble bridling your tongue, so does everybody else in this room. I'm not talking to any one person. All of us struggle with it. Be careful what comes out of our mouth. Now, you can talk about those kind of words, but what about doubt? I don't know why I'm doing this. But the Lord said to worship team, you guys come on. We're going to sing a minute. But listen to me while they're coming. You be careful what comes out of your mouth. You know, doubt comes out of our mouth. Doubt comes out of our mouth. And the Bible says that whatever is not of faith is sin. So be careful what you're saying. When you're living your life and you're trying to work on your life, don't undermine what God's doing by speaking negative things out of your mouth. Now, I'm not a big confession preacher, but let me just tell you, we need to be careful what's coming out of our mouth. We speak doubt, and guess what happens? Things don't happen because faith is what moves the heart of the Father. Jesus said that whatever you say will come to pass if you don't doubt in your heart, but believe that what you say, it will come to pass for you. Doubt needs to get out of our vocabulary. We need to quit being doubters and talking doubt. Quit being negative. You know, there is a recession, but my God shall supply all my needs according to His riches in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
This may be a tough life, you know, we're living, but nothing's too hard for God, and nothing's impossible for Him. Nothing. Last time I checked out the word nothing, it meant nothing. You say, Pastor Ron, you don't understand my situation. I probably don't, but He does. And let me just tell you a little something about my God. He owns the cattle on a thousand hill. You know what that means? He owns everything. And there's nothing that you're going through, not one single solitary thing that you're going through, that the God of heaven and His Son Jesus Christ has not been touched with. The Bible says that Jesus has been touched in every way as we are, yet without sin. He that knew no sin became sin that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. There is nothing you're going through that God can't walk through you with you. There's nothing. There's nothing about your finances. There's nothing about your relationship. You know what? While I'm talking about what we're saying, be careful what you're saying about your wife or your husband.
Amen.
Be careful what you're saying about your parents. The Bible says to honor your father and mother. It's the first commandment with a promise. It'll go well with you and you'll live long on the earth. You know what? The opposite's true too. You start dishonoring your parents and you're not going to be a success in this world. And you're not going to live a long time. Honor your mom and dad. You say, well, my mom and dad died. That doesn't mean you quit honoring them. Be careful what you're saying. Be careful what's coming out of your mouth. And what this has to do with my sermon, but the Spirit of the Lord is on this. And if you need a good tongue cleaning up, today would be a good day for you to go for prayer, for people that are available over here for prayer. As we sing this song, let's stand together and worship the Lord. Let's bring a sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of our lips. Let's worship our King.